most trusted and connected man in Utah.
Joe Horton with the Road Home.
Thank you, Doug.
Doug Wright.
That combination of housing, being able to deal with the addiction and the mental health issues spells a solution for us in the future.
The Doug Wright Show on KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
I'm very pleased to have the mayor of Salt Lake City here in studio with us, Mayor Ralph Becker. I was just joking with you, Mayor. Normally, I don't have TV cameras in here. Peter Seymour, even though we're good friends, he usually isn't hanging out with me in the studio. It must be you. Welcome. Good to have you here.
Always good to be with you, Doug. And actually, I'm sure they're here for you.
Yeah, right. They're here for me out in the newsroom, and only do they come in if I have donuts, unless, of course, you're here. Let's talk about the reason for the visit today, Mayor. What makes this a good time for you and I to chat?
Well, I think almost everyone in the community is aware of the episode, the departure of Chief Burbank a few months ago now. It was an upsetting, a very upsetting matter for me, obviously for Chief Burbank, for the community. And you and I have talked, and I appreciate we've had a good chance to talk about this at the time of that incident. But I've really now had an opportunity after a few months to be obviously thinking about it. I'm asked about it continually door to door as I go throughout the city and meet with people. And it's given me a chance to both reflect, understand how people are both responding to it, the questions they have, the awareness they have or don't of what happened. And so it's really, for me, a chance to visit with you and obviously your listeners and talk about, from my vantage point, a little bit of the experience that I had, but also to reflect on how it was handled.
We'll talk about exactly that, the how it was handled. And we have indicated that you are more than welcoming phone calls here at KSL Talk, 575-8255. If you have a question of Mayor Becker, especially on this issue, we would love to take your phone call. As you do look back, this was in June, first half of June, and it did catch everybody off guard. When you and I talked, you know, we've known each other for a long time. You and I have spoken very candidly, you know, over the years. And this one really caught me off guard. And I know Chief Burbank, when he talked with me the next morning, I can remember him saying something to the effect of, I get it. You know, ask me to resign, fire me, whatever, but I don't think it should have happened this way. As you look back, and the word you've used is reflect, what comes to mind, Mayor?
Well, Chief Burbank and I had been having disagreements, particularly over personnel matters, and this matter involving sexual harassment was a matter that he and I had struggled with mightily. And a year before, he had agreed to take some action involving some serious confirmed allegations of sexual harassment involving a deputy chief of his, and then he didn't follow through and do that. And at that time, he was given a letter of reprimand for failing to follow through as he had agreed to, and for not taking, from my vantage point, appropriate action involving those sexual harassment incidents. And it moved forward over a year. And I gave him a letter of reprimand. Of course, that was private. It was a personnel matter between us at the time and wanted to protect the privacy of the women. But over the ensuing year, we were continually trying to follow up. And he had agreed he had made a mistake, and he was going to try to fix some cultural issues within the department and make some changes involving personnel matters. And for me, it came to a head pretty quickly a year later after many meetings with him and with staff. And I was frustrated. I was frustrated with comments he made in the paper where he defended his deputy chief rather than reflecting on the victims. I don't understand how he could have been surprised. He and I had discussions about this and other personnel matters for a long time, and it had been reaching a point where I think he knew, and I know he knew a week before when we had a very intense, heated conversation, that the way he was handling it was completely unacceptable to me. And so when we sat down finally after he had canceled meetings on me, He had avoided requests from me. I was frustrated, and I was angry. And while there was no question in my mind that something major needed to happen, and Chief Burbank knew that, the abruptness of the decision for me, yes, but maybe more importantly for the public, was such a major figure in our community who was so valued by the community, was a shock. It wasn't for me in the sense that this had been building for a long time, but those were private. That was not in the public eye.
Mm-hmm.
So I certainly, you know, recognize that the abruptness of the announcement of the decision, not allowing it to really play out in a way that the public understood the circumstances that had gone back for a long time between the chief and I, created this this real uproar in the community, and people, from my vantage point, didn't understand that background. So, you know, as I've reflected back on it and talking with people, explained to people what happened and them understanding that better, I realized that people didn't get that understanding from the way this was played out in terms of communications from me and from others. And it could have been handled better. And it probably should have been handled better in terms of helping both the public understand better what happened and also understand the circumstances around the chief's departure.
As far as when the chief chatted with me and with other members of the media, he said this just seemed choreographed. It seemed like this was predestined when he stepped out for a moment to reflect. And he said he was under intense pressure to choose basically door number one, door number two, or door number three on your desk. That as he walked out, he saw the crowds already gathering for the press conference and realized that this was a done deal.
Well, the outcome was not a done deal in that I presented three options and then said, if you have another option, I want to hear it because this is what I've been able to come with. Either you and it's at the beginning of the meeting that I had with him that resulted in his resignation at that time. I said, look, I want to get this resolved now. This has been going on too long, and I want us to come to a conclusion at the end of this meeting. And then I want to announce it. Part of my frustration was that he and I had set up a meeting much earlier that he couldn't do because he was traveling, and then he decided to go on vacation when we had scheduled a time. So I was increasingly frustrated. And I was hosting over 200 local leaders from around the country, so I was feeling that kind of pressure. And I and he agreed. It's like, let's get this resolved when we started the meeting, and have an announcement. I said, I'll do that with you, depending on the outcome, or without you. But I want to get this done and behind us. And you know, anyone who's been in a management position, I've been managing state offices, my own business, was minority leader in the legislature, and I'm now president of the National League of Cities. So I've been in management positions for much of my career. Know these kinds of personal matters are extremely difficult. I think it's the hardest part of management. You know, you're dealing with people's lives, and you want to be fair, and you also want to do the right thing for, in this case, for Salt Lake City. Mm-hmm. And so it was a very difficult situation. And I was feeling pressure for a variety of reasons. And acted abruptly. And in retrospect, you know, I should have both given him more time, given the public more time to understand the circumstances. But it was not set up for a particular outcome other than I wanted to have that matter addressed and resolved. And I probably shouldn't have been thinking of, look, we just got to get this done, which is the way in most personal matters we work. You know, it's usually a private matter between an employer and employee, and you sit down and you go through your options and make a decision and move on. But with someone of the public stature and significance, really, for our community of Chief Burbank, it did need to be handled differently, and I didn't.
Let's take a brief break, and we will continue this conversation with Mayor Ralph Becker, who is here in our KSL studios today. And by the way, the mayor has welcomed phone calls. It's KSL Talk, 575-8255.
Doug's working the biggest stories right now, and the browsers pick it up at one.
It could change the entire economy.
Oh, but you said don't be afraid.
Today on KSL News Radio.
Can you believe Oktoberfest is in full swing already? And it continues every Saturday, Sunday, and Labor Day until October 11th from noon until 6:30. Enjoy Snowbird's annual Oktoberfest festival with classic German food and drink and music. The way to do it is to stay and play for the whole weekend with the Oktoberfest getaway package. That includes lodging, daily breakfast, and all-day activities passes from $95 per person per night. And right now, Snowbird season passes are on sale. You buy your season pass by September 10th and you get the lowest price for your pass. Buy an unlimited season pass at Snowbird, receive free days at other Wasatch resorts, half price tickets at Mountain Collective resorts, and more. Restrictions apply. Plus, the bird is getting so much better this year with over $35 million in resort improvements, including the summit on Hidden Peak and a renovated cliff lodge, which is so beautiful. It's going to be a season you don't want to miss. For details on everything your season pass and Oktoberfest, just go online to snowbird.com.
No payments for the first 45 days.
Serious?
Serious. Free gas for 90 days.
Serious?
Serious. It's Labor Day, the Carl Malone Toyota way. And now Toyota's end of summer clearance event and Labor Day sale means a price match guarantee with over 500 new and used cars in stock, ready for you. Make this the Labor Day you get serious about the best deal on the Toyota you want most.
Serious?
Serious. That's Carl Malone Toyota on 114 South, just west of I-15. Visit MaloneToyota.com for details.
Today, college football kicks off on Fox Sports 1 with the game everyone's been waiting for. The Utes take on the Wolverines in Jim Harbaugh's Michigan coaching debut.
Touchdown!
It's the season's biggest opener, and you can only see it on Fox Sports 1. To find Fox Sports 1 on your carrier, go to foxsports1.com now.
Oh my goodness!
Don't miss the excitement when Utah faces Michigan. Coverage begins today at 5 Mountain, only on Fox Sports 1.
This is Jeff Stout with Fink & McGregor, Mortgages Made Simple. A rule change by Fannie Mae has gone largely unnoticed, but it can make a big difference to some people. The old rule specified that any revolving credit accounts paid off in a refinance had to be closed. So if you had a credit card, for example, that you wanted to pay off through a refinance, you had to close that account. Well, that rule has changed now, and the accounts no longer have to be closed. This small change can make it much easier to consolidate debt while giving you the flexibility to keep that rewards card that you use for everyday purchases. This rule change, when combined with rising home values, opens up debt consolidation opportunities that were not there a short time ago. Call us today to see if this works for you. Fink & McGregor, Mortgages Made Simple, 264-9494. That's 264-9494. Or on the web at finkmcgregor.com.
With the three things you need to know this hour, I'm Simone Cycli. First, the sold-out game tonight between Utah and Michigan leads to ticket reselling with prices that are hitting new highs. The average, according to reseller site TickIQ.com, is $390. It's the second most expensive game this weekend. First is Texas at Notre Dame. Second, you might want to plan on big crowds if you're headed to a national park for Labor Day. The Park Service says 5 million more people have gone to the parks this year than last year. Utah's Zion National Park, for instance, has seen an increase of 16%. Third, our top national stories from ABC News.
The sound in Kentucky, outside the federal courthouse in Ashland. There's a hearing today on the case of Rowan County Clerk Kim Davis, who continues to refuse to issue marriage licenses because she says her religion prohibits her from agreeing with same-sex marriage. A federal judge has erased New England Patriots quarterback Tom Brady's four-game suspension in the Deflategate mess. A French prosecutor has formally concluded that the wing part found on Reunion Island in the Indian Ocean is from Malaysia Flight 370. That's what the Malaysian prime minister had said all along.
Your ABC anchor was Sherry Preston. Partly cloudy and breezy today with those south winds, a high of 90. It's 79 in Salt Lake now, and we're back to the Doug Wright Show on KSL News Radio.
The Doug Wright Show. Doug scores big-time interviews on Utah's most important stories on KSL News Radio.
I think, Mayor, I'll count this as one of those big-time interviews. I appreciate you joining us today to talk about what transpired in the earlier part of June, the dismissal of the four. People have described it many ways: firing, resignation, forced resignation of Chief Burbank. I'll just kind of let the various terms float out there. Before we take a phone call and I respond to some of the, or ask on behalf of some of our texters, their questions, in the aftermath, once the forced resignation, I'll use that term, occurred, Chief Burbank seemed to really be not only upset by, but hurt by the fact that he wasn't allowed back in the public safety building. He was asked to turn over his badge, which he said, no, that was a gift from Chief Dinsey to me, and really felt that he had been cut off at the knees and really was being treated disrespectfully there. Your reaction to that?
Well, when he agreed to resign, when he'd made the decision of the choices that we had for him to resign, he actually had a choice for how he would do it. One of them was to resign immediately. In other words, at the time of the meeting. We also told him he could delay that resignation to the end of his pay period, which would have given him a week or I'm not sure how much longer than that, but at least another week or 2 weeks to deal with matters, including going back to his office and getting some things cleaned up. And that was explained to him. But he said, no, I'm just going to do it now. I want to get it done. He was probably upset, like I was upset, and just over the situation. But that was his decision. It was explained to him. Now, I understand he was able to come back later, I think, and take care of some things. But I understand that, you know, he was cut off from even going to his office. But that was explained to him that if he resigned at this time, that his departure from the city would be effective as of the time of his decision. So some things that could have been worked out over a week or two really weren't available to him with the route that he chose.
Were tempers just too high in that environment on not only his side but your side to the perhaps where maybe some of those fine lines weren't anticipated?
I think that's probably fair to say. Both tempers and, you know, as we talked about before, anyone who's been involved in personnel matters knows how difficult they are, how upsetting they are. I mean, on both sides, in making my decision, I was affecting someone's life who I valued. And the chief was upset. You know, he had a long and illustrious career with Salt Lake City. So there's no question that there was that frustration and tension and anger, probably from both of us. I mean, we were civil. It's not that we were coming to blows, and it's not even that our voices came up that much, but you could cut the tension in that room with a knife.
No. Let's take a phone call from Corey, who is waiting on the line. Corey, you're on KSL with Mayor Becker.
How are you?
Good, thank you.
Good. So my question is I recall hearing on one of the news feeds that Chief Burbank had gone to Human Resources and asked what courses of action he could take that would maybe preserve Assistant Chief's job. When they give you that set of guidelines to go off of, he goes off of that set of guidelines in order to maintain that person's job. What makes it possible for you as mayor to come in and say, hey, that doesn't work out, I want it done different. You need to either fire this person or you need to go away. And that's how I perceived it, because I'm just, in my mind, I'm going, hey, if Human Resources says this is the way to do it, this is the legal way to do it, let's do it this way. And then you just say, hey, I'm really upset at what he's done. Let's do it different than that.
Okay.
What makes that right?
Yeah, thank you, Corey. So actually, that's a really good point. So at the time that Deputy Chief Finley was allowed to resign ultimately. We do have standards and a process for dealing with issues of sexual harassment. And the chief met with our human resources director, met with our city attorney, met with my chief of staff, not just once, but on several occasions, to come to a common agreement about how to handle Deputy Chief Finley's case. And so there's a range of things that could have been done. What Chief Burbank agreed to do, and all this is documented, so you can go and review all of this yourself, because it's clearly documented in our city information at the Salt Lake City Mayor's Office, slcmayor.com. But the chief agreed with our human resources and city attorney and my chief of staff, also the chief operating officer, that he would demote Deputy Chief Finley. And we felt that was necessary, both because of the seriousness of the sexual harassment matters, But also because it is important that people understand in the police department and in Salt Lake City government that sexual harassment is not acceptable in the city. So while you're right, there's a range of things that could be done. He agreed with us and the advice of both counsel and human resources and representative from my office that he would take certain action, which would be a demotion. In other words, the person would be demoted, his salary would be reduced, and there would be some clear punishment. Instead of, as what happened was the chief decided to let Deputy Chief Finley slide and actually didn't do what he was continually asked to do. He let him slide until his retirement date and then just let him resign. And we felt that just wasn't adequate action.
In hindsight, and I remember, Mayor, you and I talked about this, there are those who were of the opinion that perhaps the chief handled this with some real discretion here, where other things could have led to lawsuits. Deputy Chief would still have been working with female officers, would have still been on the force, in the environment, still, you know, participating. As it was, he was basically, and I'll use a little different term that I've heard used before, was kind of manipulated out.
Well, and that, I think Chief Burbank to this day feels like he did the right thing. But the fact of the matter is that following both the process and the standards we have in Salt Lake City for addressing sexual harassment and this type of really set of claims, series of claims, the chief agreed to do something more. He agreed that it was appropriate to demote this individual and to put him in a position where he would be held accountable for the actions he had done, mm-hmm. and to institute a series of actions around the cultural sexual harassment, which we had been seeing in the police department. And so we can argue about, well, was this the right or was that the right action to take? And all of those things are debatable. But substantial time was spent with the chief to agree on the appropriate action, and then he didn't take it.
You mentioned that this is documented, and you gave the website that people mm-hmm. can go to. Did the chief sign something, or is it documented just in the conversation?
It's documented most clearly in two ways. One is we put together a timeline of the series of meetings, and the reports are available on sexual harassment as well. It is also documented in a almost 5-page letter from my chief of staff on my letterhead, my name's right on the top of it, to the chief on what had transpired, what the chief had agreed to do, and what he agreed to do going forward to address sexual harassment. So it's very clearly outlined. And the chief at that time agreed he was mistaken and had been insubordinate in his actions. So it was really because of his agreement that, look, I didn't handle this properly, and I'm going to take actions within the department. And given his incredible deserved stature in the community, that I made the call. It's like, okay, let's go forward. And address sexual harassment going forward.
We will take a break. We are going to continue our conversation with the mayor of Salt Lake City. Mayor Ralph Becker will join us. There are other issues to discuss, and we will also keep our phone lines open for you at 575-8255. The mayor indicated when we were chatting about putting this together that he would more than welcome phone calls. It is 10:01. This is KSL-FM Midvale, KSL-AM Salt Lake City, and we have our Mark Jackson standing by in the KSL 24-Hour News Center.
Well, Doug, Salt Lake City Mayor Ralph Becker is explaining more of what happened in June when he fired Police Chief Chris Burbank. He's speaking right now on the Doug Wright Show.
While there was no question in my mind that something major needed to happen, and Chief Burbank knew that, the abruptness of the decision for me, yes, but maybe more importantly for the public, was such a major figure in our community who was so valued by the community. Was a shock.
The mayor says he feels frustrated by a year's worth of trying to work with the police chief over allegations of sexual harassment in the department. 8 hours and change till kickoff at Rice-Eccles Stadium as the Utes take on the Michigan Wolverines tonight in one of college football's first games kicking off the 2015-26 season. KSL News Radio's Peter Seymour says fans are already tailgating on campus, a few fans hoping to get a ticket to tonight's sold-out game, and ticket reselling is hitting new highs. KSL News Radio's Mary Richards reports.
One website says the Michigan-Utah game is the nation's second most expensive game this weekend, with the average ticket price at almost $390. Tickets with a face value of $50 are going for $200. Some are asking $900 or more.
It's the second most expensive game this weekend. First is a Texas-Notre Dame game. KSL's top national story this hour from ABC News. The U.S. Coast Guard reports that a portion of the Mississippi River is closed as crews investigate an oil spill. It happened when two towboats ran into each other late last night near Paducah, Kentucky. An unknown amount of oil spilled into the river. Your money at this moment, the Dow is up 133 at 16,485. The NASDAQ's up 26 at 4776. S&P is up 17 at 1966. Coming up on KSL News Radio, a cool down coming up on the Labor Day weekend. We'll get your weather forecast coming up. KSL News Times 10:02.
You get home and get to work faster by staying out of traffic backups.
That's why you use Triple Team Traffic mornings and afternoons on KSL News Radio.
When you need a body shop, do you want anything less than the award-winning quality, the on-time professional service, and the state-of-the-art facility at Martin's Collision Repair? Hi, I'm Tiago Martins. Check with Martin's Collision Repair to find out more about Martin's stress-free repair service. And get your car repaired right. Check online at martinscollision.com on State Street in Orem and in Salem. We work with all insurance companies.
The right repair, the right paint, the right choice. Martin's Collision Repair.
Is there anything really free? How about free financing for 72 months?
Take a free ride on Smith Ford now with 0% 72-month financing available on all new 2015 Fords,
including the all new 2015 F-150.
That's free interest for 6 years.
Free financing and free savings while enjoying Smith Ford's easy, stress-free, no hype way.
Hi, this is Linda
and Kevin.
Why don't you check Smith Ford first?
Why don't you check Smith Ford first?
Just off the freeway north of Spanish Fork.
I told some of you this story. 1 year I don't tune up my air conditioner and my house feels uncomfortable. I go to the furnace and the coil on top is covered with ice. My outside unit won't shut off. It keeps sending refrigerant to the inside coil to absorb heat. Air is supposed to be blowing by the coils to warm them. The furnace filter and coil are dirty, blocking the airflow. My electric bill goes through the roof and I almost burned out my compressor. Don't be a buffoon like I was that year. Call Whipple Service Champions for our 22-point precision tune-up. On sale now for just $49. It needs to be done once a year and it lasts all year. Call 801-444-FAST. You get our red carpet rolling, clean cut, drug tested, background check technicians who won't leave a mess. I know better now, and so do you. Call Whipple Service Champions for your $49 tune-up. That's 801-444-FAST. For emergencies, when you call today, we come today.
Whipple, they come, air condition your home.
All right, everyone, remember the support group rule. We're here to talk out our problems. Pre-diabetes, would you like to start?
Yeah, well, I'm just annoyed that no one knows who I am.
Mums, how does that make you feel?
What are you complaining about? I'm all but history. Acne, does this have you popping?
Yeah, besides pre-D, you're not even on anyone's radar until you become type 2 diabetes. Then it's heart attack, stroke.
Measles, care to add anything?
Well, no one knows you're pre-diabetes because you have no symptoms. I use red splotches. It's my thing.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean you should ignore me. One in three Americans will get me, especially those over 45 live a sedentary lifestyle and are overweight.
I don't have that problem. Everyone knows and fears me.
Common cold? Who let you in here?
Yeah, cold. No one goes to the doctor just for you.
With prediabetes, what you don't know can hurt you. It can lead to type 2 diabetes. Call 1-888-222-2542 to learn how to be tested and get valuable information on staying healthy.
Traffic and weather together brought to you by the Utah Toyota Dealers annual clearance event. Andy Farnsworth in the KSL Traffic Center.
Mark, things finally clearing up for you out there. After some earlier delays through Utah County, the crash has been cleaned up at SR 92 for northbound traffic. So you're at the full speed limit finally from Provo to Point of the Mountain. Then in the Salt Lake Valley, a little bit of slowing remains right after the 90th South exit in Sandy. But otherwise, you're back to the full speed limit in Salt Lake County as well. No new crashes to tell you about. Discover all your family fun at the Utah State Fair, September 10th through the 20th. Don't miss animals, live music, alligator wrestling, big top circus, fair food, and more. Visit utahstatefair.com. Andy Farnsworth in the KSL Traffic Center.
Valley weather. Today should be the last day that we'll top out of the 90s for at least into early next week. Low 72, sunshine along the way for tomorrow, dropping to 87, Saturday 79, and Sunday 71 degrees. Right now, 76 degrees, mostly cloudy skies, downtown Salt Lake City at 10:07. You get the top stories every 30 minutes, breaking news the second it happens. I'm Mark Jackson, KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM at 1160 AM, Utah's news, traffic, and weather station.
The most trusted and connected man in Utah.
Stan Lockhart, who represents the National Parks Council.
Doug Wright.
This reaffirmation to participate in scouting on behalf of the church, it just makes me feel great.
The Doug Wright Show on KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Mayor Ralph Becker is here in studio with us, and we have been chatting with the mayor's office over the last day or so about him coming in and talking, the dismissal of, the forced resignation of, the however you choose to put it, Chief Burbank. And the mayor indicated that he was more than willing to take phone calls and that nothing was off the table here. And so I appreciate Mayor Becker joining us. And let me ask a question that was on my very short list of things to bring up, and it's coming up over and over again on our text message board. People feeling that this perhaps could be electioneering, something because of poll numbers, because of this race tightening down now between you and Jackie Biskupski, looking at the numbers, feeling that maybe some damage control needs to be done. Your thoughts on that, Mayor?
Well, it's I think my campaign staff would get a chuckle out of that because they were completely in the dark. There were certainly people who started to come to me who said who were informed about this and started to say, hey, this is effect, will affect the campaign, will affect your reelection, whatever. And I completely pushed them aside. And my approach on this was, as it is for all matters affecting the city, I need to decide on behalf of Salt Lake City government and Salt Lake City what is in the best interest of our city. And I'm going to have to deal with the political fallout of this and the ramifications of this. And I just need to make the best decision I can for the city. And so for me, it's certainly there was no question in my mind that given the stature of Chief Burbank and how beloved he was in our community for the good things he did in our city, that in some circles, at least, this would not be well received and that there'd be some political damage for me. But I also knew that I needed to make a decision for what was best for Salt Lake City. And that has always been what has guided me, and it guided me in this decision. And politics, to me, had to be set aside to try to make the best decision.
What we are discussing today and wanting people to understand a little more the details, making information available, and again, this is something, Mayor, that's coming up over and over again on our text message board, is this doing damage control today?
Well, no. I think what I don't know if it'll be damage control or not, but I think for me, I've had a time for 2 or 3 months now to be both hearing a response from the public as I go door to door and in house parties and in different kinds of forums. For me to remove myself over time from the tension and the frustration that I was experiencing at the time of the decision, and to go, how could this have been handled in a way differently that may have avoided the kind of uproar? So, I mean, everything in a campaign year I've certainly experienced this year is looked at through a political lens. But my approach to things does not change in a campaign year serving as mayor for this city. So I certainly understand that, that's a natural reaction from some people. But people who know me and have been around me for a long time know that's not the way I make decisions.
I asked off the air if you'd have the chance to cross paths with Chief Burbank, if you indicated you had not. If for example, you walked out of our KSL studios, ran face to face with the chief, what would that be like for you, and what do you think would transpire?
Well, I had a long relationship, and I'll say a good relationship with Chief Burbank, really for the 7.5 years that we served together during my time as mayor. And I still think highly of him and admire and honor the service he provided to the city. And I would hope, I can tell you from my vantage point, I would go up to Chief Burbank and shake his hand and ask him how he's doing and engage with him, hopefully on a personal basis. I'm not a kind of person, and I just don't hold grudges with people sort of regardless of circumstances. Some people say almost to a fault. And I certainly don't feel that way about Chief Burbank. As I said, even at that time, I said, I wish Chief Burbank, Chris Burbank, in the aftermath of his serving as chief, the best. And I really do. I want him to have a healthy, productive life and career going forward. We just had a disagreement that resulted to a point where a series of disagreements, really, where he couldn't serve any longer for me in Salt Lake City government.
You indicated that phone calls would be welcomed on the program, regardless of topic. And I wanted to handle most of the things regarding Chief Burbank and the resignation earlier in the conversation. But while we still have a moment, Jimmy is on the line. Jimmy, whoa, apparently we lost that phone call. Jimmy, have we got you there? He wanted to talk about some of the economic things, economic development happening mm-hmm. in downtown Salt Lake City. So perhaps even though we lost Jimmy there for some reason, maybe you could give us a little update. How are we doing economic development in downtown Salt Lake City?
Well, I think everyone who comes to Salt Lake, and I think that's all of us in downtown, know that we are in a boom, or as the Chamber of Commerce likes to say, a renaissance that we have not experienced literally in anyone's lifetime here in Salt Lake City. This is an exciting time for our city. We have exploded in our population. We've exploded in development in downtown Salt Lake. We've exploded in companies and businesses moving into Salt Lake and people from all over the country flocking here. And we see it in not only buildings rising, whether they're private development or public development buildings across the city, and increased options for the way people get around and enjoy get around in downtown. But we also see it in an energy and a vitality that you and I remember in downtown Salt Lake. But many people who come here in the last 30 years don't. And that, to me, is the sign of a healthy downtown, of a healthy community, when downtown really serves as a gathering place. And it's become that again. And we can look at it in raw numbers. In 2014, we had $6 billion. I'm never too good with numbers. $1.6 billion of permits issued in Salt Lake City. That was more than the three prior years combined. This year, we are blowing past those numbers. So the development in downtown Salt Lake, the energy, the vitality is terrific. And it's something certainly I feel good about, and I think the whole community feels good about, because that's what we want for a downtown.
Mayor, I really appreciate the conversation today. I appreciate your office reaching out to us. I appreciate you being here in person. But I did save the most controversial and the toughest question for last. And basically, who are you rooting for tonight?
Utah by 5.
I've heard that somewhere before.
No, there is no question. And this is exciting time for University of Utah football. Go Utes!
All right. Mayor Becker, thank you for joining us today here at KSL News Radio, the mayor of Salt Lake City. Let's